Hey y'all, I'm Sammy, your host of the You Were Made for More podcast. John 10:10 is a promise that Jesus came down to earth so that we would have life and have it abundantly. My prayer is that this podcast and all of the content that we put out would remind every student that they were made for more, simply because of who they were created to be. My own walk with the Lord and my relationships with the teenagers that I disciple have shown me that once we understand whose we are, the game changes. Or in other words, transformation happens. Our identity changes everything. We recognize that it takes investment and partnership between the church and parents to raise teens who know and believe who they are in Jesus. And we're here to help. So buckle up as we take this journey and take a look at what God has to say about friendships, relationships, sexuality, dating, and all the things in between. Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the You Were Made for More podcast. I am really excited to be back with you this month. And this month we actually have an awesome feature of having two episodes that feature both of the speakers that we had present at the Y Summit. If you're not familiar with what the Y Summit is, there is an entire podcast episode about it. So I encourage you to go back and listen to what the Y Summit is. But basically, these speakers spoke to students who attended the March for Life in Washington, D.C. in January of 2023. This first episode features Laura, whose talk is split into two parts. The first part of her talk was about doing life our own way, and then the second part of her talk is about doing life God's way. This episode is a cohesive blend of both of her talks together. The gist of what she hits on is why it is so important to think deeply and rely on God's guidance about the choices we make. Without the guidance of God and the Holy Spirit in our lives, we wander into unhealthy relationships, selfish behaviors, and because of our sin nature, we make choices that end up harming us more than benefiting us. The second part of her talk features the redemption, if you want to think about it like that. Leaning into relationships the way that God would call us to, and practical ways to do this. Laura was the director of the Pittsburgh Essential Speakers Program at the Women's Choice Network in Pittsburgh, PA, before the COVID-19 pandemic. To keep getting the healthy relationship message out there during COVID, she authored the video curriculum Real Talk, which is a video series designated for young people to equip them with skills to combat relationship challenges they face in adolescence. Her background is very, very diverse, but most notably, she was a resident archery athlete at the U.S. Olympic Training Center and made the USA World Archery Team, the national team, and so on. Her story is really one of redemption. She has raised two daughters of her own. She has worked in her family business. Her and her husband Joe have been married for many years. And her passion for the abundant life that Christ calls us to is evident in who she is and the work she does. So I'm really excited to hear for you guys to hear this message from her. So I encourage you to just get out your notepads, take some notes, especially about the practical things that she mentions and how to think critically about decisions you're making and what future goals you have and how those two things align with one another.
She called me a year ago. I've been like thinking about this for a whole year. And what do I say? I could go 1,000 different directions since the public has gone 1,000 different directions. But, and you know, honestly, when she called me, I was so honored, humbled to be here to speak with you all. But at the same time, you ever have two emotions like crash into each other? I panicked because I'm a truth teller. And truth is not so popular these days, is it? No. So I'm like, I want to know, can you guys handle the truth? Please, thank you. Okay, great. Before we get into all that, though, have you noticed how fast the culture is changing, the topic is changing on sex and relationships, right? I don't know about you guys, but I'm like overwhelmed. I'm nervous when I bring it up with friends, but it's just coming at us so fast, right? And it reminded me of, because it's coming fast and they keep changing the rules, is that time when the disciples are asking Jesus, what will be the signs when you return? And in Matthew 24:4, all right, we're not there. So we're first going to talk about doing it man's way. So this is going to be maybe a little depressing for some of us a little bit, but that's a ground. Right? It's right where we're going to start. But what time is it, right? And it is time to stand firm, isn't it? Stand firm in the truth. And at that point in Matthew 24, going back to that, where the disciples are asking, what are going to be the signs of your return? He goes and says, watch out that no one will deceive you. So what is that implying? There's going to be a lot of chaos, a lot of confusion. There's going to be a deceiver to change and deceive God's people, right? And so what does that sound like? We have to be able to identify the deceiver in those words. And so, I mean, I was just coming up with a few of my own, and I call it Satan speech. You know, yeah, it's just a blob of flesh, right? We hear that, right? It's just a blob of flesh. No. It's a very small human being, and we now, science even confirms it, right? That DNA is set at the moment of conception. And you can't change the DNA either, by the way. So, blob of flesh, no, that's a lie. That's another deception. Well, everybody's doing it, right? Everybody's doing it. Well, no, that's wrong too. Guess what? I had to know this stat when Sammy and I were in the high schools. If you are a high schooler between 9th and 12th grade and you have not had sexual intercourse, you're in the majority. Yeah, 38.4% are having sexual intercourse. And so we're getting smarter, right? So that's wrong. That's wrong. That's a deception. Well, this is a popular one now. Yeah, men can get pregnant. Why don't we just throw out biology and all the facts with biology, right? This is a tricky one, I think. Love is love. No one can tell you who you're gonna love. What does that imply? It's tricky. It's saying that you decide what's best for you. Do you see where the power is? Oh, love is love, I'll decide. That's okay. So, then there's lies I know that I told myself. Lies like, well, I'm a good person. Anybody who follows the word knows that that's false. We're all sinners, right? Ding, ding, ding. Ding, 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 right? Here's what I told myself. I won't get pregnant. I'm a Christian. Well, guess what? 70% of the women who have had abortions call themselves Christian. That's interesting. And then, kind of like love is love, I'm going to do what I want. That's what I know in my head. I'm going to do what I want because I was being raised as somebody that, be independent. You can set your own path. This is a good thing. Be careful. There's a little bit of a deception here, right? And so, there's more deception that's happening out there, and that is, do I have to point? Okay. Sexuality has changed so quickly. Yeah, our federal and state leaders even tell us it's good for you to be able to have a choice to kill your preborn child. If they're passing laws in my immature brain that's still developing, I might go, well, if it's legal, then isn't that good? It's okay, right? That's a deception, right? And the people that we want to trust the most, the medical professionals that we thought we could always trust, we never trusted politicians, but right. But medical professionals, I mean, those are smart people. And they're now saying it is good for you not to question a young person's gender identity. Don't question. Don't ask them, are you being abused by somebody? Don't ask them, well, have you had bouts of depression? Don't ask questions. Just affirm quickly, move them on to puberty blockers, move them into cross-sex hormones, and irreversible surgeries on their perfectly normal body. So that's basically what's happening, wouldn't you say? Man is so arrogant. We define what is sex. We define what is marriage. We define family. What was the original? And guess what? We're not even asking the creator of those things. We know better. It's pure arrogance, folks. And you know what God says to the man and the woman that acts like this? Woe to the one who calls evil good and good evil. That's heavy. I don't know, maybe the pastors can tell us, but when you see a woe in scripture, it is serious. It is serious. And so that is something I want to drive home here. And so with everything that's happening in our world, you know, man's way, following the culture, I have no time to waste with you guys, you know, dancing around. Well, this is a good, healthy relationship, and this is not a healthy relationship. No, I am going to tell you that I truly believe I have no time to waste, and the day of the Lord is near. We have no more time. It's time to stand up, and we are depending on the youngsters that we see out there, especially at tomorrow's march, right? So, to drive this home, I want the best athlete in the room to come forward. But, yeah. Come on, just somebody. Somebody. Who is an athlete? All right, everybody's humble now. Well, then I'm just going to go up and are you an athlete?
I can swim.
You can swim? Okay, swim. And it's Lillian, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Lillian, stand up, my love. Okay. So, whoopsie. So the whole point of this one is, see, I'm just not used to this, is what is your focus, Lillian? Where is your focus? I want you to take this, okay. Balance it in the palm of your hand, fingers out. Oh, have you done this? Has somebody did it? Okay. No, it's fine. You can do this. Maybe you can practice and be better at it. Okay. So want you to balance this looking at your hand. Okay. Look at your hand. And that's what I want you to do. See if you can balance it. Looking at your hand. You're looking at yourself. Oh. Come on, swimmer, Lillian. Come on, swimmer. Whoa, okay. She's a little out of control, isn't she? She was looking at herself. Got it? What's good for you? What you're going to do. Now, we want to put your eyes up here. And now balance. So, when you have your eyes up, your life is in balance. And you can adjust, right? because none of us are perfect. But when you are, thank you, Lillian. Did we applaud her? Okay. Thank you. Yes. See what you guys at home missed, but not being here? Okay. Is when you are focused on you, you're out of balance. But when your eyes are up, you're in control, right? He's in control. That's a theologically incorrect statement. So that's what we want to talk about. And so what did we learn with that is basically scripture, set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth, right? So now I have to go off on a little rabbit trail, scientific rabbit trail, because God made science, and a little couple of pieces of data, and that is that. Did you know 90% of addicts, 90% of addicts started in their teen years? Did you guys know that? 90. And so you sit there and you go, whoa, that is a lot of addicts. And you sit there and you go, there has to be something going on here. Well, it's the brain development from 13 to mid-25, all right? Your brain, every human being goes through this. The brain is in overdrive. It's expanding so much, and here's the trick. It's kind of going backwards. I label it as the brain develops unevenly. It starts in the back, right back here, and then it comes up here to the prefrontal cortex as the last to develop, and what's the last thing, your skill that you have up here, the last thing you get is good decision-making, rational thinking, right? So you sit there and you go, well, if the first thing to develop is back here, that's your emotions. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, some of us are little hotheads. I was, or you're crying a lot, or maybe you're trigger happy, you like to fight or something, but you are driven by emotion. But also, you're also being, there's a possibility of speeding for fun because, you know what? Your physical activity in the 13 to 25 range, you are restless. This is like, I'm going to do some things like I've never done before, right? And this can be good if you make a good choice. But that's what I said, well, let's just get some power going, right? Fun, yeah. Without thinking, well, there could be some consequences for that. And then motivation, you are motivated in that 13 to 25 range because the brain is an explosion to try things, risk, and it typically is risky things. We're talking alcohol, drugs, sexual experiences. Oh, what's a little bit of that, a little bit of this, All right, that is what's happening. And it's kind of a wow factor from the standpoint that there's a biological component in your decision-making, or I should say your lack of decision-making, good decision-making, rational decision-making, right? But obviously not, you can't say, well, I wasn't in my fully grown brain, genetics, I had alcoholism in my family, I pay attention to that. Home life, not everybody's got a great home life. Home life does play into your decision making. So this time frame is a volatile time frame. And I think that people need to be aware of that so that the choice is made when you want to learn something. Let's say you want to learn to be the best baseball player or the best swimmer. You want to beat Phelps. What was his first name? Phelps. Michael Phelps or whatever, right? That is the time that you want to start training. So that kind of thing is very, very important. So biology, your genetics, maybe what you're inclined to, and then home life does play a part in decision-making. So Christian or not, I mean, these are all normal feelings, but if you act on those feelings, that is where we get into trouble, right? And so the enemy takes full advantage of those feelings. And he goes and says to you, because he knows, the deceiver knows this time of your life, you're vulnerable. He knows that. And he says, what's a little porn? I mean, you're not injecting it, smoking it, sniffing it, right? You know, what's a little, and it's just you and the screen. Nobody will know. Nobody will know. I know we've heard it. What else does he whisper in our ear? He says, hey, you've been dating that person for 3 whole weeks. Do you want to be completely happy, feel complete? You should have a sexual relationship. This is like what you're designed for. Those are little whispers, right? And so that's exactly what I did. I acted on those whispers. Yes, I did. And my focus at your age and into my 20s was immediate gratification. It was self being significant, you know, being a somebody. I was self-focused, wasn't I? Right, I was out of balance. And so I acted on that. And then after sleeping around and experiencing several consequences that go with sleeping around, I said, I've had it, I'm going a different direction. I was raised to be in charge of myself. I'm going to go for the Olympic team. That's not what you expected, was it? No, it wasn't what you expected. But you see, I'm in control. Do you see? And I called myself a Christian. So, you know what? In 4 years, I actually did quite well. Focus. Remember, your brain is in major development. I focused incredibly, and I made a national team, top 10, made a world team, went to Australia representing the United States in world competition. I was asked to train at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs. Who's from Colorado Springs? Over here. Sorry, Lucy. Yeah, I was looking over you guys. Right. Colorado Springs. I trained there free. Right. All of a sudden, I went, wait. And I was the athlete rep for archery to the U.S. Olympic Committee. I'm like, 4 years, it's amazing when you focus, right? But who was it? What was my motivation? Self, it was, very much so. And so, I mean, but the Olympic life, it was very sexy. I got a lot of attention, and it looked like I knew what I was doing in my life. The world liked it. Man liked it. Do you know what I'm saying? And so, honestly, though, I didn't see my true value, my true significance as the way God sees me until I was born again at 37. 37. I got in smelling like smoke, folks. So what does that mean? That means that I spent a lot of time doing things man's way. I was listening to the deceiver because I thought that was the popular thing. It's exhausting, this search for significance. It's confusing. I thought I'm doing the right thing. That's what my friends tell me. My friends that aren't Christians, right? It's heartbreaking when you give all of yourself and it doesn't work out. Ultimately, I think we sang that, right, Brian? We sang that it's unsatisfying. That soul, that need that we get from Jesus, that love, is not, I did not have that. And because of the choices I made. Folks, little side tip, this is the first time I'm marching. I might cry through the whole thing. But there are physical, not just physical, there's emotional consequences. So I ask you guys, with all this sexual freedom in the world that we've had, I mean, look at their passing laws. You can do anything you want, right? It's all legal. Is our culture better off with all the sexual freedom? No. Is it? No, I believe that, I'm just looking at four stats here. Porn is off the charts. I've heard on multiple sites, it's at an epidemic level. So just lump porn. You've got child abuse in there. You have sex trafficking in there. I battle depression. It's through the roof, isn't it? Look at this. Two more stats. Just in COVID alone, child abuse went up. I don't even have the teen suicide stat that you kept hearing about in the last 3 years. Whoops, sorry. Gotta give me a... More severe child abuse and injuries in the last 3 years. Drug abuse, overdoses. Look at this. 1999, this is 2019. I don't think it's gotten any better. We've done things man's way, haven't we? We've tried it. I tried it. I don't think it worked out so well. So, if we can't change our past, but we can change how we proceed, right? That's what we're going to talk about next. So we've tried it. We tried it my way. It did not work. God's way. We're going to look at that next. And because what we did in the high schools was we need a game plan, folks. How do we proceed from here? So thanks, Sammy. I was telling Sammy that the second half is really talking about a game plan. And we're going to go back to that, the relationship game plan. Because, maybe we won't. Back? Nope, that's not going to work. Okay, we'll start there. That's right, we're flexible. So, you know, given what's going on in society and all the things that we've talked about, that it's pretty heavy stuff, we really need a game plan, don't we? And, God's word plus science, which is of God, has proven that we are meant for relationships. I mean, God has designed family. God wants us to be in community with each other, right? And he wants us to love others honestly, truly, authentically, and be loved by others, right? So it does say in 2 Genesis, right? It says that God tells us it's not good to be alone. So, you know, I have the sirens go off when somebody says, well, I'm a loner, I stay by myself, and I just go, whoa, siren, because we are not meant to be alone. We are wired for relationships. And so, you know, where are my athletes? All right, so I understand, what is your name? Graham. Graham, may I say out loud, is an equestrian, right? Do the equestrian riders, do you say that? Is that correct? Rider, do they have, how do they win? Do you have a plan when you go out and, why don't you tell us, what do you do? Do you have a plan? Or you just go, okay, get on the horse and off you go, right? And then and you hope that they choose you. And is that how it works? No. Somebody was here, a soccer player, right? Is there a soccer player here? Oh, yes, I think so. What was your name? Natalie. Natalie is a soccer player, right? So your coach gets you on the field, gets the team out there and says, go out and win. Is that what they do? No, they have plays for you to follow, right? They have a game plan, right? How do businesses make more money?
Oh,
there it is, a business plan. That's right. So with this in mind, is this battery on? Do I point here? Try again. All right. So game plans. Did we have a game plan for backup batteries? All right. Does anybody here have a dating game plan?
I have one.
Okay, but the majority don't have a dating game plan, right? 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 So you're just winging it. Is that right?
Bet my eyes.
Oh, that's a good play, maybe a game play. But I would think, do you think that she might have had a game plan, Simone? Just a little plan? Or she just get out there and there? No, she worked hard. There was a plan. She stayed, right? She said, what about this person? What about the person going off to college? I mean, this person looks like there's a game plan here to learn whatever it is he's studying or getting to the college of his choice, right? All right, I would say he has a plan, educational plan. How's that? All right. Did this company just all of a sudden make a lot of money? No, they probably had great business plans, strategic plans, marketing plans. So I would say that we're a whole lot better. What happens when you have the plan is that you are no longer distracted by what the world is telling you, all the distractions, right? We say no to parties because we got to train, right? Right. So basically, nobody here has a game plan, or somebody had one. You had one at one point. But this, I love for a relationship game plan. Do you guys know this psychologist international, Dr. Kevin Lehman, very funny psychologist, author. But he says this about teen dating. I believe teenagers should be intimate when dating. And you go, oh, really? And he says, no, not physically. But you should have the goal. In your dating, you should have the goal to discover as many things about each other as you can. And we're like, okay, what does that mean? Spell that out. Let's divide this up and think about this. So I think he's saying that we're a human being is a lot more complex. There's a lot more to us than what bat in the eyes and meet, what, you know, the physical attributes, right? He's telling you, get to know the other traits that you can't see. All right? So here's your safe game plan. You're wondering where that sheet was going to come into play. The safe game plan, these are other traits a human being has. So guess what? Spiritually, Christian, what does 2 Corinthians say? Do not be unequally yoked. So should you even be spending lots of time and investing your time and your heart and your money into somebody that is not even interested in Jesus? All right? So faith does play a role. So what if, you know, I am speaking to people that I was a kid that went to youth group from time to time, but I didn't get it, remember? Right? So faith is, I'm going to say, numero uno. Mama D says that's, now, on your dates, can you tell, date one, are they an extrovert or an introvert? Maybe you know them from school, they're extrovert. Are they the person that has to be talking to everybody at the party or at the football game, right? Or are they more of an observer? And that's more attractive to you, right? Everybody's plan and what works best for them is different. But all right, I won't go there. So the next thing, your aptitude, your intelligence, your areas of interest even. So there are people, I mean, I have Joe and I, Mr. Papa D over there, and I have two daughters, and one is science-driven. She's in med school, all right? The other one is an artist, music therapy, and I'm like, can you be more diametrically different in terms of your gifts, right? And so I mean, one of them's like, I want to go to all the hockey games with Dad. You know, I'm interested in sports. And the other one's like, no, I want to go to the musicals. I want to go to the plays. I want to go. So what interests do you have in common with this person? Those are things that you want to be discovering in question. So what do you do in your spare time? Oh, I just game all the time. All right. Is that what you're looking for? So the F means the financial side. Folks, how many of us had part-time jobs, right? Summer jobs, and you get a check, all right? Are you off and running and spending that? Are you a there are savers, spenders, and sometimes in between. I would spend a little bit
and save a little bit, right? So if you had a relationship and you were investing lots of time, your heart, your money, what would happen if you're both spenders? You know, I'm not saying these things aren't possible. I'm just saying it deserves more attention and flushing out, right? And the last one is, this is the fun one, I think, the emotional side of them. Are they serious people? Or are they very humorous people? Are they glass half full, half empty? Are they defensive, you know, at everything, right? Those kinds of things play a big part. And with this in mind, this is something that I think that we need to remember, that we have, there's like, I'm more of the talkative one in our marriage, right? Papa D back there, he's the quieter one. See, look, it even looks quiet right there, right? So I wanted, in my family, we grew up with a bunch of hotheads, and I needed to make sure that I wasn't going to spend a lot of time with somebody that was naturally a hothead. So on our third date, somewhere, it was very early on, we were rock climbing over here at in the Potomac, I forget the name of the rocks, but anyway, Potomac Rocks, whatever. and I threw cold water on him on purpose. And I was like, well, what are you going to do? And he turned around and he said, payback's when you least expect it. And I was like, that was so calm and rational. I mean, if he had thrown the cold water on me, I would have been like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? What is their natural reaction in the moment? That is something you've got to find out. And here's why is that important? Because do relationships have storms? Of course they do. We don't have a 50% divorce rate because there's no storms, right? Unfortunate. So with that in mind, we need to be on our game plan, knowing what we're looking for. This doesn't work, this doesn't work, this doesn't work, right? You're not investing all this time, and you're increasing your odds for relationship success. But let me tell you a situation that happened in a storm. And what I mean is our oldest daughter, Erin, she was on an early date with who is now her husband, Paul, and they were out at a restaurant. They got out of the restaurant after they were done, and Paul saw that his car had been broken into. All the windshield was broken, and that's a storm, right? This is unexpected. What did Paul do? He said, Erin, I'm going to walk you back into the restaurant. I'm going to put you inside. I want you to stay here until I come back. How many of us would have reacted that way? I can't honestly say I would have reacted that way. His first concern, what did she learn about this dude that she was just starting to date?
He was concerned for her safety.
He was concerned for her safety first. That was his natural reaction. I was like, hang on to that one. You know, seriously. And then he was calm. He was rational thinking. He wasn't, you know, throwing expletives everywhere. Can't say that about a lot of our friends, right? Another date, my daughters, they gave us a lot of good points. This is the thing. This is more relative. It was a soccer game. It wasn't Paul. It was a high school thing. And after this tournament that this date had lost, he was throwing things. He was kicking things. He was bashing his teammates, like blaming them for the loss. What is she learning? She's learning, like, you know, here's a guy. What's that?
Selfish.
Selfish. He's not looking at, like, well, he's not in control, number one, of his anger. You can be angry that you lost. Sure, we're not saying that's wrong. But he actually kicked the trash can, and he's verbally bashing his teammates. And it's like, I wonder if he takes any accountability for losing, you know? So these things, these moments, will tell you a lot. And so that's why, instead of like, we just say the physical side, that's a given. I mean, you're not, you know, kind of like, yeah, it's a given. You're going to be somewhat attracted to them. You're interested in them, hopefully. And of course, we know that when you're friends first, there's a much better success rate there.